Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. The Do Zone is sponsored by Fast Track Funnels, the new way to bring in consistent daily sales for your business in 2025 without cold outreach or burning cash on ads. We use this method with a brand new business to generate more than $100,000 cash collected in less than 30 days. Download the free step-by-step blueprint that shows exactly how we did it at getconversions.net. Once again, that's getconversions.net. Today's guest is Ray Hartchin. He is a writer, musician, and songwriter living in Southern California. Throughout his professional career, spending five decades, Ray has pivoted on many occasions, from investment banking to pharmaceuticals, from consumer electronics to SaaS software. However, one constant through his career and life has been his deep passion for storytelling. His third book, Revenue Orchestration in Today's New Era of B2B Sales and Marketing, is a quick 90-minute read available as an ebook on Amazon and the Kindle store. Ray, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
For me, Josh, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate the opportunity. Getting things done, for me, it's being very conscious of letting other people's urgencies impact my priorities. You know, just because somebody's giving me a call, just because somebody needs something to get done, doesn't mean that's the thing I need to invest my time with in at that particular moment, right? So being aware of other people's and being very protective of your time, you know, making sure that you're focusing on accomplishing what matters most to you with the team that you need to pay attention to, as opposed to letting other people's urgencies maybe adversely impact your priorities. Make sense?
Yeah. Comes down to the idea of what is urgent versus what is important, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some things are urgent and important. Some things are important, but not urgent. Some things are urgent, but not important. You need to take those things that are urgent and not important, slide them away, because what falls prey to are those things that are non-urgent, but important for you. You keep putting them off, and then you start missing deadlines. It starts impacting your customer, internal and external and the like. So be conscious of other people's urgencies, preying on your priorities, your importances.
Yeah, I'm curious. I always like to ask a follow-up question because, like, I agree with what you're saying, and we have this tendency to go that way. And so my question would be, why do we tend to put other people's urgencies and priorities in front of ours? What's the reason for that? Because if we don't know why we're doing it, I don't think we can really address it.
I think a lot of times it's just mistaking. We are technologically enabled to have our priorities deprioritized by others because of our notifications. You know, and so, you know, when you know, having the discipline to be able to turn off notifications when you need to concentrate, you know, you don't need to be disturbed from the fact that, oh, you were mentioned on Twitter. Oh, and then stop what was important to you and then go over to Twitter and see somebody at mentioned me or something like that. That's a classic. Not intentionally done. It's just we as humans in our short attention span, and we have these shiny little objects that pop up. It's much like the squirrel running in front of a dog. You know, it's like squirrel, and we get distracted from what we're really trying to do. Notifications, you know, so when you really have to concentrate, turn off the notifications. The email is probably not that urgent, right? You know, let's not take our eyes away from the eyes, you know, eyes on the prize to go deal with this new email that's coming. I mean, if it's an email in the first place, it's probably not that urgent. It would have called if it was urgent, right?
So probably a marketing email for me anyway.
Yeah, you know, I'll have time for that. All that stuff will be available for me. Concentrating on writing something, say I'm writing an article, man, I like to turn off all my notifications, get this thing done. Then I can come back and it's like, oh, there's an email from Josh. I didn't need to read it an hour ago. In fact, I don't need to read it now, but I'd have time now. But last hour, I was working on something that was more important to me.
Might make the time for it. Yeah, it reminds me of when I think about a situation when there's a couple that's sitting at dinner and they're both sitting there with their phones on the table and it's facing up. And it's almost like, it's like a direct threat, you know, yeah. It's like, oh, if you're not interesting enough, as soon as this thing lights up, you're done.
Yeah, and it's also you know, it's taking one step forward to not being present in the moment, right? You know, you're opening yourself up for that, and you know, you can't help it. Even if you get a notification, it pops up. You know, you're kind of looking, and you know, there's times when maybe you've got young kids and they're with the babysitter, and you might need to do that. But you know, we can all be a little bit more present, whether it's at work, whether it's in our personal lives with relationships and so forth. The present, you know, they call it a gift for a reason, Josh. Focus on the present. And again, as it relates back to your initial questions, you know, don't fall victim to letting other people's urgencies impact, take you away from what's most important to you.
And so I think that translates well into something that an observation that you've had that I 100% agree with. And it is the idea that the control in the marketplace for businesses really has shifted to the buyer. The buyer has all of that control. The buyer gets to decide what's important and what's not, what's urgent and what's not. No longer can a marketer determine that for you through their words. The buyer gets to decide if they believe you, if they think you're full of crap. First of all, why has that happened? And second of all, how can we as business owners adapt?
Yeah, you know, so I think it's an insight that we need to relearn. All of us revenue team professionals, as we're reaching out for prospective customers and existing customers, you know, we have our proven paradigm in the B2B world, right? You know, and it's worked for generations for decades. But our B2B buyer has changed. You know, they're getting younger and younger, and those B2B buyers tend to be digital natives now. And digital natives are expert at one thing in particular, and that is search. These people know how to search. They've grown up with it their entire life. But also over the last decade or so, they have experienced these world-class shopping journeys in their B2C markets. You know, for over a decade now, we have shopped in complete anonymity to the brands that we're shopping. We can compare and contrast, and we can select things. Many times we can fulfill an entire transaction without ever interacting with a human being with one of these brands. But you know, during those B2C journeys, Josh, we'd be spending $20 or $50, right? It's our own money, and we're only spending a little bit of money, but we're enjoying these great experiences. But what a lot of us B2B go-to-market professionals do is when you go into work on Monday and you start shopping with the company's money, which that's one good thing, but the bad thing is you got your professional reputation on the line, i.e. your short-term career prospects on the line. You're spending $20,000, not 20. You're spending $50,000, not $50. And many times, too many times, you're forced into a paradigm that you don't want to be in. You want to, buyers today, business buyers want to experience the B2C buying journeys that they've had for over a decade in the B2B world. And we, many of us, are stuck in a paradigm where we're forcing people into doing, you know, all our high value content is behind a gate. You know, we require you to request a demo. We don't tell you what pricing is, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a lot of research out there that says, you know, the new buyer has new buying behaviors. Over a third of buyers want to see customer reviews as the first thing that they look at, Josh, on their B2B buying journey. Now, us seasoned professionals, we always thought of referral customers and customer reviews as an end of funnel type of asset. This is something way down, like deep in the consideration phase, maybe at the very beginning of the purchase phase. Not anymore. Now, for over a third of the people, it's the first thing that they look at, right? So, you know,
well, they're looking for verification that you can actually do it, because they've been burned so many times before. They're like, well, can this person even produce a result? Because I've made the wrong decision. I don't want to make the wrong decision again.
Yeah. And can you deliver? You know, if you are a SaaS company and you're not on you're not in a dominant type of position in your segment on a site like G2, you know, you're behind the ball already, right? So it's all these, you know, proven, you know, as B2B, you know, go to market professionals, we have all these great people, all these great processes, all these great plays. It's just in this whole concept of revenue orchestration. What I try to touch upon in the book is that, you know, now we have to purposely coordinate it and be around a new buyer and a new buying behavior. Instead of being, you know, very, you know, internally centric, this is our sales funnel. This is how we do things, and we're going to force the customer into it. We need to be much more pro-reactive. We need to understand what the buying journey is, meet the buyer on their journeys, on their terms, providing them the information they need to facilitate their buying journey to pick us as opposed to competition.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And, you know, that's One thing that I've seen as far as, you know, the buyer wrestling control is to a certain extent, I've said this before, but I can't take credit for it. I've heard, you know, marketers ruin everything. And, you know, that's true. As a marketer, I can raise my hand and say, yes, I ruin everything because I'm looking for the opportunity to get my exposure or whatever. And a lot of that has contributed to this shift in the paradigm of who's actually in control, because the marketer pushes and pushes and pushes to the point to where what you're saying is so fantastical that nobody even believes you anymore. And even if they did believe you, so many people have let us down before that that just destroys all credibility. And so now, me as the person that could be spending the money, I really need to know, like, are you legit? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a huge root there in what you said earlier about a third of the buyers now are looking for that social proof up front, because it lowers their risk of making the wrong decision again, because they've unfortunately had to make the wrong decision so many times because they don't know who to believe. And so they stop believing anybody.
And it's not just, you know, the marketers ruining everything. You know, on the revenue team, a lot of finger pointing going back and forth. You know, the sales team is ruining everything. Customer success is ruining everything. Professional services is ruining everything. You know, and today with today's
HR is ruining everything.
It's got to be somebody's fault. You know, that pointing the finger, you know, we kind of forget there's three fingers pointing right back at us and that we need to be accountable. But, you know, to really do this effectively and efficiently, it takes this, you know, unprecedented coordination amongst all customer facing teams. Right. You know, we've talked for years. We continually talk about the alignment between sales and marketing. But it's more than that. You know, it's customer success. You know, there's not a single industry on the planet where the cost of customer acquisition is less than the cost of retaining a customer. Right. You know, customer success is a critical component of being a business. So much cheaper to keep a customer than to acquire a customer. You know, so it takes this purposeful coordination from all these different aspects. And really, the buyer has turned what we thought we knew on its head. And I'll give a good example, and that is pricing. You know, endemic in the SaaS space is a lack of transparent pricing on websites. Over 70% of buyers in surveys, they want to be able to self-serve pricing, you know, and I don't know, Josh, if you've ever been involved in a pricing and packaging project at a company, regardless of how small or how big the company, it is time consuming. It takes the entire organization. It's a cross-functional exercise that takes at a minimum four to 6 weeks, sometimes takes 6 weeks. Very painful exercise to do pricing and packaging exercises at work. But it's the facts out there. Buyers want to be able to self-serve at least part of their buying journey. 100% of buyers want to be able to do it. Over 70% of them want to have transparent pricing on the website. And I've had discussions with people that said, you know what, that's not our industry. It's other people's industry that want pricing. And I'm like, that's the type of a comment that a future loser is going to look back at and go, because it all only takes one, Josh. It only takes one to raise the level. And your segment, if somebody goes, you know what, here's our pricing and it's transparent, then everyone's got to play catch up. And then what I just said about this 1 month to 6 month long process, you better have started it already, because now you're on the clock. You've got 1 month to 6 months. If you have to start from scratch, and who can afford to be 1 month to 6 months behind your competition in the marketplace? I can't. I don't know a whole lot of companies that have that type of luxury to do that. So, you know, a message to, you know, all the entrepreneurs out there, all the people on B2B revenue teams, you just have to accept the fact that your buyer is different. They're behaving a little bit differently. You've got all the proven assets that work. I mean, webinars, they work for you. They will still work for you. You just need to purposely coordinate all the people, all the processes, all the plays you have to focus on facilitating the new buying journey. So just understand the buyer's a little different. Once you accept that, it's like, how do we need to reimagine our business, reimagine our go-to-market efforts in a way that is buyer-centric, customer-centric, so we can facilitate their journeys, so we can win in the marketplace. There is no second place in the marketplace, right? You know, the second place in the race for the customer, first loser. It's just something that's important to win. So recognize, folks, that your buyer, if they haven't changed already, and they probably have, but if they haven't already, they will be changing, and they will be changing soon. You want to be the first in your market to be able to engage and appeal to them.
And tell us who you serve and how we can connect and learn more about you.
For me, you can hit me at all the social media platforms. It's my name, Ray Hartchin. It's also my website, rayhartchin.com. And I would love to talk to all of you about going to market. I am a writer and a musician, but you know, most of the food that gets put on my plate comes from content marketing. I'm a content marketer. I would love to talk to you about your go-to-market motions and how to make them better. I think it's just, and we have these proven successes in our past. It's so easy just to kind of keep doing the same things we're doing. And I think it's important for us to recognize a new sheriff in town. That sheriff is the buyer. It's the buyer's rules. Now we have to adapt to this this new buyer, the new behaviors. How are we going to adjust what we have to work in this new marketplace?
Very good. Hey, we're going to wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Ray Hartchin, for coming on and sharing a little bit of wisdom about how he gets things done. For those of you who want to learn more, you can go and visit his website, rayhartchin.com. And for those of you who are out there on your morning commute, maybe you're entering an air guitar competition, or you're just kind of strolling through and sniffing the flowers, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you want daily sales and a full calendar of prospects who want what you have, download the Fast Track Funnels Blueprint for free at getconversions.net. Now let's get to work.